podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From Westby. That's right. We're back, your boys. JN Fiend. I also hate Pitt back in the building, back in the booth. Here we go again. Man. It feels so good to be back, doesn't it, B?
It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a podcast to step to.
That's what he's saying. That's what he means. So right now, we'll get five questions. And no, everything's not been all right. And no, we've been going through it. And yes, I'm mad at everything. So please, Jordan, spin the beat and give us five on it, baby. Let's go.
Welcome back, RVK Nation, to another edition of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan Tycuri, and let's get things kicked off with the first blank. Jalen Bridges coming back to Morgantown was blank.
Inevitable. They're in the same conference. They play him twice. Once at home, once on the road. Jalen Bridges coming back was inevitable.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It was the excitement we needed. Well, we're going to be excited because we're going to the tournament. Well, we're going to be excited we're going to a bowl game? Are one of our players up for an award? No, we have none of that stuff. You know what we have? We have being jerks. That's what we are. If we're not going to be known for winning, at least we'll be known for being jerks. So it was great that he came home so we could show our true colors when he got on the court and gave it to him.
Number two, Jose Perez not being cleared by the NCAA is blank.
Absurd. Skylar Callahan tweeted, in a world where Luke Fickell can leave his team and coach another in a bowl game before the ink's even dry on his new contract, the NCAA has the audacity to keep Jose Perez from playing for West Virginia this year. It's absurd. Anybody who's objective can look at it and say it is patently absurd. If he played for any blue blood, he'd be in the game by now. This is nonsense, but most importantly, it is absurd.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I hate in life when it comes to sports, especially. We could go way back to, what's his name, Mike Transgizzi of the Big East. We could just go down through them. But the NCAA is so terrible. The NCAA cost me, and we're now on year 8, maybe year 9 of not having the college football game because of what? The NCAA. They have no power. They have no strength. And now to flex on West Virginia over Jose Perez? Bro, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I can't stand the NCAA. I may hate the NCAA more than I do Ohio State, and that's saying a whole lot. Whew. It's ridiculous.
Number three. Our football recruiting class so far has me feeling blank.
Underwhelmed. We just pick up a big receiver transfer from NC State. He's got 1 year left. That's nice. Mostly getting G5 prospects. I'm underwhelmed, Jeremy. I don't know about how anybody in their right mind can say they're anything but underwhelmed.
Our recruiting class has me feeling like, roll tide.
Oh, you feel like it resembles Alabama?
Roll tide. Brandon, what in the world? We keep losing all these players. If you look at all these other teams, they're bringing in people from, you know, Power 5 teams, and they're reloading. And everybody we get is from Group of 5, like not even big time Group of 5. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not. I said I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not. So everybody getting excited. Look, the best thing that ever happened was this football season back to back with this basketball season. Because honestly, right now, I'm just supporting West Virginia. I have no expectation. I have no passion. Hey, let's go West Virginia. If they win, great. If they don't, it's pretty much what I expect. So this recruiting class right now just makes a person say, roll tide.
Number four. Would you rather make it and get embarrassed like TCU did to the national championship or just not make it at all?
I would rather make it. Are you crazy? The revenue by itself, the exposure by itself, for the weeks leading up to the championship. Jeremy, there's no question I'd rather be in it, get smashed, but go home with that check and that prestige of having played in the national title game. You still won a college football playoff game. Very soon, you will have won multiple college football playoff games to get to the title game. And Georgia smashed pretty much everybody except for that fluke game against Ohio State. And you're saying Roll Tide, but boy, I think you might be better off saying go Dogs.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Trust me, baby. I got you lined up and in the sights, okay? Anybody who has the nerve to say that they would rather not make it has lost their minds. Are you serious? TCU beat the Big Ten champion. And yes, maybe it's not the SEC, but everybody putting clout on Ohio State and Michigan's name, TCU beat that champion. You can't take that away from him. Anything that TCU did looks worse on the entire Big 12. Don't give me. I don't care if Ohio State lost by one point. Good for you. Big 10. You still lost. Give me that all day and tomorrow, because if my team makes it within one game of hoisting the trophy, that's something to recruit with. That's something to say, hey, look, we didn't have the best players, but look, we fought hard and we played strong, and that's something to build off of. People who say, like, that they wish they didn't make it at all have lost their minds. Make all the jokes you want. There was only two teams in the national championship game, and neither one of them were from the Big Ten, and one of them was from Texas Christian University. I'm taking that all day and tomorrow. But these people steady talking like they jaw broke.
Number 5. Blue blood struggling in basketball makes me feel blank about Huggins.
Nothing. I don't care that Hubert Davis is struggling at North Carolina. I don't care that Coach Cal is struggling at Kentucky. I don't care that the Blue Bloods aren't blue blooding like they typically blue blood. Bob Huggins is a Hall of Famer now. Bob Huggins has a track record and credentials that should show a better product than what we're getting in Morgantown. It makes me feel nothing. My expectations were not high for the season. They increased during the out-of-conference play, but the Blue Bloods struggling to do nothing for me when it comes to Huggs.
Absolutely nothing. Huggs is now 4-18 in the Big 12 Conference since last year, including this year's 0-4 start. That's not okay. Now you can blame anything you want. You can blame people transferring. We got plenty of transfers in. But when you keep turning over players like this, bro, it can't be the players. There's one common denominator. I'm sorry. So when I see this, the Blue Bloods struggling too, I could care less. Because those Blue Bloods, you know what they have that we don't have? A national championship, okay? They have a national championship. They have things to fall back on. Hey, Baylor's not very good this year. Yeah, 2 years ago, Baylor won the national championship. If we beat TCU next year in football, you know what? TCU went to the national championship. Texas Tech went to the national championship two, three years ago. Yeah. Give me one of those, and I'll be more lenient. We don't have one, and that's the problem. But there you have it. 5 questions, 5 answers, raw and real. Jay and Fiend, I Also Hate Pitt, the Raspy Voice Kids, we back at it again. Let's go, and let's really go in.
Raspy Voice!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Welcome one, welcome all, and you are listening live to the one, the only Tortillas and Takes podcast.
From football to softball to track and field, tune in to get the best coverage in everything that is Texas Tech.
Not only that, but find out what unsuspecting star we get to interview and put on the hot seat.
Whether you like corn or flour, eating them or throwing them, this tortilla is for you. So listen to Tortillas and Takes.
And as always, stay wrecked, people.
Wreck me, boys!
I'm going in. We're going in. We're going in. Yes, we're back, and we are better than ever. It's Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pit, joined by my brother.
What up, what up? JMP, building the booth.
So you heard five on it. Now we're going in. We're going to start the talk with the 0-4 start for the Mountaineers, Jeremy. So Josh Witt of the Unreasonable Doubt podcast, he be dropping some jewels, Jay. He made the point. He made the point after the first two losses in conference that WVU basketball, NCAA tournament appearances in the Huggins era stood at 11. He was counting 2020. He said appearances from a team that lost at least two in a row during the season or in a conference tournament was 11. But teams that lost three in a row, only two of those made the tournament. Teams that lost four in a row, guess how many of them made the tournament, Jeremy?
Don't know. Don't care.
Zero. And here we are.
Stats.
Here we are, 0-4 in conference play. Four in a row lost. I got a bet with Chris Hall from West Virginia Sports Illustrated that West Virginia will not make the tournament. He believes they will. I believe they won't. And it looks like the stats are on my side because the best predictor of the future is the past. And this is what Huggins teams do when they lose four in a row. They stay home in March.
This is same old every single – I mean, like, honestly, we hear, oh, make West Virginia hoops great again. Oh, it's never going to happen again. And we're watching it. We're watching it in real time. And I'm so mad at myself, Brandon. I told myself, I said, I'm not going to let myself do this again. I am not going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not going to get overhyped on out of conference. I said that. Go back and listen to our shows. I said that. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid on the out of conference. And you know what I did? I did it. They got me. Waggy, Mitchell, they got me.
No, Stevenson, you got you. No, you got you.
I got me. I got myself. I let myself down. I really did. Because here we are.
They may have poured the drink, but only you chose to pick it up and imbibe.
They also, what's different about this team is they actually hit shots. They actually hit shots. Yeah, no. What you meant to say is when we play stink teams that anybody can hit shots on, they hit shots. Go look at our shooting percentage in these games against in the Big 12. Go look at our shooting percentage against Purdue. Go look at our shooting percentage against Xavier. Teams that matter, teams that are good. When we play good teams, we don't shoot well. We don't shoot free throws well. Now this year is the anomaly. Because every year we usually play good defense. Now we're not playing good defense. And guess what? Now we're in a conference. We're not playing good offense. So, like, here we have a whole new character of guys in the same problems. Can't shoot free throws. Now this game against Baylor, we didn't turn the ball over like we normally did. But still, missed free throws. Huggins was talking about how we have to – We've had to miss the most 2 foot bunnies. I don't know if he said bunnies, but 2 foot shots in the country. We miss more. Hey, isn't the same thing we were saying back with Culver and Shibway? We're at West Virginia.
Yes.
Didn't we keep saying how we couldn't make buckets right in some front of the basket? At some point, when is this done about the players and about the coach? You tell
me.
That's
what I was going to say. What changes? The players change. They transfer. They graduate. A couple in the last decade have gone to the NBA, and I do mean a couple, two, but the constant is the coaching staff. The coaching staff stays the same, and you see the same issues. Missing free throws at inopportune times, at the most crucial times. Not being smart with the basketball, turnovers that just don't make any sense. And not being able to make shots when we need to make shots. Can't put the ball in the basket. That's the real problem. It's sad. Eric Stevenson, 10 points tonight. Where were you, man? Where were you?
And I like Stevenson's grit and heart, but it's funny how the ball, like I keep saying, the ball goes in when we play these teams out of conference. These teams that aren't very good, man, we'd be lighting up the scoreboard. We'd be putting three fingers to our head. And then we play these better teams and we can't make a bucket to save our life. We can't make a bucket.
And I want to be optimistic. Incredible. Like, typically, my stance is it's a long season. There's a long way to go. But we can't win on the road. You said Huggins is 4-18, including last year's record and our 0-4 start in the Big 12. What's the record on the road, Jeremy?
No clue.
Because I believe we went 0-4 last year on the road, right?
I know you ain't asking me. I don't know.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that we lost every road game last season in the Big 12. And all I can say is we've had these games at home already. You've gotten what you want. You've had close games, opportunities to win. Kansas State, you went to overtime. Couldn't pull it off. This game against Baylor, you've got Jalen Bridges, the pariah, coming in. People calling him Judas, which I think is a bit much, okay? It's not like he transferred to Pitt. And I do understand why people are frustrated with Jalen Bridges, because Jalen Bridges not only left his home state, but he talked trash on his way out on the Final Forecast. He talked trash on that podcast about Huggins, about the state of the program. He did. He talked trash. And his family, as multiple people have pointed out, have gone out of their way to pick, no, I don't want to say pick fights, but to contest any tweet, any comment about Jalen Bridges. And I like Jalen. I don't have any beef with Jalen Bridges, except for I wish he would have said the stuff that he said. I think he could have done, he could have left without saying those things.
I don't care. Brandon, the worst part about this, I don't care now. I'm sick of it.
Well, what I'm saying.
Our football team stunk. No, hold on. What I'm saying is our football team stunk. Our basketball team is 0-4, and we keep losing at home. Do you think we're going to win these games on the road? So we're headed to not making the NCAA tournament
again
in basketball. At this point, what is there to say to anybody? Like, I don't care. I don't care.
No, what I'm saying is
Virginia, I'll watch the games. But, hey, I mean, I wish we could shut them up. Tonight was a perfect night to point in somebody's face and say, yeah, shut up. Can't believe you left Morgantown. And we didn't, because we never do. So why do I care?
That was my point. That's exactly where I was going. You can't get up for this. You can't get up for this. You can't have your guys ready for this. When are you going to have them ready? Because tonight was the night. It's like Chris Cross said, tonight's the night. But please.
No. Yeah. But it hurts extra when you, like I said, you look at Baylor. They won the national championship a few years ago. Texas Tech. And the reason why I bring up Baylor and Texas Tech is because they're not Texas and Oklahoma, who have the big money and the big brands. Texas Tech goes to the national championship. And football, TCU just won a playoff game against Michigan and goes to the national championship. In the first year, the 5-7 turn around to, 11-1 or whatever. I'm just saying, it's just in our face all the time. Marshall wins a soccer championship. And I know it's soccer. Nobody cares. But still, they won the national championship. So, like, after we're here now. And they're saying, hey, let's donate money. Hey, put your money where your mouth is for that. And I give, again, all I got to give are my eyes. And when you prove to me that you're ready, I'll be ready, because I've been giving and y'all been laughing at me all the way to the market, all the way to the bank. Y'all been laughing at me for years and years. So, look, yeah, I'm that's a Mountaineer fan through and through.
But you need to make it clear. We have donated. We have paid. We've had season tickets. We have done our part for decades as a family.
I've got 2 hours of sleep from driving back from Morgantown in the wee hours and having to get up for work after a 2-hour drive down the middle of the state where nothing was going on to work the next. I've done it. I've been there. I've done it.
But my point is, you're saying you're not going to donate, and I get it, because we have donated. We've donated. We've bought season tickets. In addition, we've done all kinds of different things to fundraise or to be a part of the money that is connected to the university to make sure they can be great. And what I don't see is the same commitment from the administration. I don't see the same will to win. And I don't see the same reciprocation of appreciation for the fan base that we have for WVU athletics. Now, that could change. Ren Baker is new. I will give him time. But I'm with you. You have to show me.
You have to show me. And I look at some of the, I don't know all the donors. All I know is that they run college football. And for us not even to think about Deion Sanders, maybe that's something. Maybe that's something outside my realm. But I just need to see us ready to make a move. Because right now, the way I feel like there's too much arrogance in the state of West Virginia, especially the athletic program, especially for where we are.
Yeah, Deion Sanders, Jeremy, we hadn't even fired our coach. They decided they weren't firing the coach.
Okay, well, that's just one thing. I'm just saying, even back with Rich Rod, where I feel like they decided they were bigger than Rich Rod. And I'm not saying he didn't make awful demands. I just feel like sometimes the program and there's certain donors. And I don't know the donors exactly.
Sometimes with Rich Rod. It was Ed Pastelong. And again, like what you said is exactly right. They thought they were bigger than Rich Rod. The program is bigger than any individual, but you have to look at the situation to figure out what's best, and they didn't. It was an opportunity to invest in the program.
I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being here. I'm going to represent West Virginia. I'm going to put my cap on. I'm going to wear the old gold and blue. But y'all going to have to show me that we're more than the OU Bobcats. Because right now, I'm not seeing it.
OU won their bowl game, I believe. They won their conference.
Didn't they win the conference?
Yeah. They went to the conference championship. They lost. But they went to the conference championship. They went to a bowl game. So don't put you better not put the Bobcats on blast like you was trying to, because they did their thing. They did okay.
And you know what I'm gonna be sick of? I'm gonna be sick of at the end of this year if everybody up, you know, from the higher ups of West Virginia, it was a tough year in basketball, but you know, the Big 12's really deep. Like how much are we gonna use that excuse? I know we're using the football. We were deep. But there's other people doing it. It's funny to be the bottom of the barrel.
TCU went from 5-7 to 11-1 in 1 year with a coaching change. Sonny Dykes. They're not a blue blood. And you can tell me they're in Fort Worth all you want. They have a small alumni base. I don't want to hear it. They do not have – they might have some advantages over us, but they do not have gigantic advantages over us. And another thing, you look at basketball. 14-1 Kansas State with Jerome Tang. 14-1. What is Kansas State doing that West Virginia can't do? And further than that, Kansas State football with Chris Klieman won the Big 12. They beat TCU, who went to the national championship. And they certainly out in Farmtown, Kansas, do not have benefits over West Virginia. I don't want to hear it from anyone. Chris Hall, you included. I don't want to hear it. Stop telling me excuses. Start giving me results.
Get off your yachts in the summer and let's figure out how to make this thing work.
What are the yachts on Somersville Lake?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. I'm sick of it. And like I said, I represent the Golden Blue. I'm all about being a Mountaineer. I always have been, but.
We ain't going nowhere. I watched again tonight. I'm gonna watch. I'm never gonna stop watching. I'm gonna take my kids to games. I'm going to suffer through all of this, but Brandon, I will not be silent.
In the words of a great man that I once knew, Brandon, they caused me to do things I do, Brandon.
They caused me to do things I do. Well, Jeremy. Let's talk about something a little lighter. You ready?
Go ahead.
College football playoff. What did you think?
I thought Georgia, when you do what you do.
Can I just say that the semifinal games were the two best games in the history of the college football playoff so far? We're two of the best. Two of the best.
People have recency bias. Don't forget when Clemson beat Alabama on the last second in and out. And don't forget about when literally Alabama won the national championship when Tua came in and threw the touchdown pass to Devontae Smith against Georgia in overtime on third and 26. A little recency bias. It was something ridiculous, but yeah.
No, you're right.
No, I think the games are great. I think Georgia showed that they have that top of the line pedigree. I think Georgia, they deserve everything they get. I don't want to be a hater. I don't want to sit here and say that last year had Alabama.
Famous last words.
I don't want to sit here and say that Alabama, if they'd had their top two receivers last year, would have beat them like they did the regular season very easily. But here's the thing. We're here and we're now. And Georgia's won two in a row.
Or we can even say if Marvin Harrison doesn't get hurt, they lose to Ohio State.
Yes. But it doesn't matter. You won two in a row, and that's all that matters. What I will also say is for everybody making fun of TCU, TCU actually did beat the Big 10 champion, Michigan. Michigan should be embarrassed. And those people who keep saying Ohio State should be ranked number two, Ohio State lost the last two times you saw them play. They got blown out by Michigan. And granted, they only lost by one to a great Georgia team. But that's all you've seen. The last two times you've seen them, they got blown out at home. And they lost their last two games. It doesn't matter who's number two.
Dog walked by Michigan.
It doesn't matter who's number two, but the number two team in the country is Alabama, the team who lost by 4 points total on the road both games at the last second to LSU, who won their bowl game, and Tennessee, who dog walked Clemson.
Let me ask you,
and they lost both games on the road. I don't know.
I know the answer, but the answer is the best win they have is Kansas State. Nine and three, Big 12 champ, Kansas State. That's the best win on Alabama's resume. Alabama didn't beat anybody. Everybody keeps talking about lots of people keep talking about how they only lost those two games. Okay, but who did you beat? Like when I asked you this before, Jeremy, your answer was they beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss was 8-4. They didn't beat anybody.
Okay. I'm just saying on the road.
At some point, you got to win games, and they didn't do it.
So you're giving Ohio State credit for winning two games, Notre Dame and Penn State, because the rest of their thing filled with the Rutgers.
No, I didn't say Ohio State. You did not hear me say that Ohio State should be ranked ahead of Alabama. You said Alabama was number two. I say it's TCU. I say it's Georgia, TCU, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State.
Alabama, Ohio State. Yeah, okay, good for you. I'm saying Alabama's number two team in the country. They never lost. They lost on the road. All these other teams lost neutral sites. Can you imagine? Nick Saban said, he literally said before the CFP was made, he's like, where would Vegas have us against all these other teams? Oh, we would be favorites against every team we played? Okay, then. But anyway, but it is what it is. Georgia's national champion.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and I understand it. My problem comes down to if you do that, then why are we even playing the games? Why don't you just pick the best, the four teams,
favors? No, and by the way, you never heard me say they deserve to be in the national championship. I never said they deserve to be in the CFP. I am saying they're the second best team in the country. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying people who try to say Ohio State, who lost their last two games, should shut up. And I'm saying Michigan, who got beat by stink TCU. But anyway, who cares? Georgia back-to-back national champions. They're going to try to go for three-peat. Big showdown next year if they do match up with Alabama. But this year was fun. It was absolutely fun. Anticlimactic ending because, oh my goodness, that wasn't a game. But Brandon, the two CFP games were amazing. The semifinals were both amazing games.
They were. They left me feeling oh so satisfied because you know I hate the Big Ten. And the only thing I hate more than Ohio State, and you're not going to agree, but I hate Michigan more than I hate Ohio State. I don't know. I go back and forth.
Nah, it's close, but no.
All I know Jim Harbaugh. They're sanctimonious. They're arrogant. They're condescending. They're disrespectful. And they talk about academics way too much when we're only talking about football. So I was so glad to see them both lose in the fashion that they lost.
Absolutely. I couldn't have been more proud of TCU. Couldn't have been more proud for that game. Let's also get into the fact of our recruiting, Brandon. And I just want to bring this up because we were talking about, one of the best recruiting classes West Virginia's ever had. And that's what everybody kept pointing to about Neil Brown staying. And in the end, it was good, but it wasn't like,
it was
record breaking.
It was not good. It was mediocre.
Now go ahead. Expound.
No, it's mediocre. To me, a good recruiting class, you cannot classify any football recruiting class as good unless you're in the top 25.
That's why I feel.
West Virginia was not in the top 25. They weren't even close. So I don't want to hear they had a good recruiting class. They had a mediocre recruiting class with some gems. Rodney Gallagher, is that his name?
Yep, Gallagher.
Rodney Gallagher being one of them. And I think he's going to be a stud. Don't know how long we'll hold on to him, but I think he's going to be a stud. There's some other guys in that class that are going to be really good football players.
But he was so solid to us, and he never moved to us, make me feel like we spent all our money on him, and he'll be moving next year. I'm just saying, it's Gallagher, because he never wavered. He was always about West Virginia, signed with us, so I feel like we use all our funds on him this year. Well, so hopefully he doesn't move next year.
When there was talk of Neil Brown getting fired, he did take an official visit to Penn State. He let WVU know he was doing it. It wasn't underhanded. It wasn't disrespectful. But he did take an official visit to Penn State after he was already committed to us.
My thought is, Brandon, why would you be so locked into West Virginia?
No, why would you be? Jeremy, I have no Brandon, idea.
Yeah, other than, look, we use all our FanDuel on him. Other than that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the NIL is. I don't know what, you know, there's no transparency at West Virginia. The media, you know, Mike Montaro has it locked down. And there's very little conversation that comes out except for their sanctioned sites and their sanctioned conversations. And those people don't ask hard-hitting questions. They don't ask the questions we want to know. We don't know what's going on as far as NIL with WVU. So I don't know what Rodney Gallagher got, but I'm guessing he got a bag.
But ain't no guessing to it. Just the way he was so loyal and he was 100% in. But yeah, look, at least we got a year with him. And that's what it means when kids come to us. It doesn't mean we have 4 years. We at least have 1 year with him. And I'm pumped to see Jeremiah Trotter with us. But how much does that mean? I said I'm pumped. I don't care, actually. I'll take that back. I don't, Brandon, what does it all mean anymore? What does it mean anymore? I'm serious. What does it really mean anymore to get one of these freshmen in here who's great?
I mean, to me, the way Neil plays them, they don't ever play. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what it means. I hope.
You said Jeremiah Trotter?
Well, his son, Jeremiah Trotter's son.
So is it Josiah Trotter?
Yeah, Josiah Trotter. My bad. Yeah. Jeremiah Trotter was the Eagles linebacker. Josiah Trotter. Yeah, it's Jeremiah Trotter's son, Josiah. Yeah, he's a monster.
He's got another son. He's got a junior. But anyway, just making sure. Yeah. I was confused because I was like, the other dude. Anyway, because I thought we lost what's his name to Houston, Justin Benton.
Yeah,
and you can see that coming. I thought he was going to go to Texas. The class just could have been better than it was. Turned out to be, like I said, mediocre. You know, it's like everything else with West Virginia sports right now. A disappointment, period.
Yeah. I mean, and I hope for the surprise. Hey, can we have a TCU-like year? Hey, can we have a Baylor-like year?
The answer is no. See, the thing is, TCU did something different. We are going with the same thing, hoping for a change. Now, what I will say is the coach down at Tulane was there for years before he went on the run that he went on this year, culminating in a Cotton Bowl.
Stop it. This is he's just not that into you. They always tell you a story about the one time it worked out in life. I'm serious. Stop it. I'm so sick of it.
I just know that it can be done. I don't expect it to happen, but it can be done. So you want to get into this Georgia-Alabama thing?
No, we were talking about that. Let's wrap this up with the NFL playoffs this week.
No, we did not talk about Georgia-Alabama.
Yes, we did. We talked about I talked about how I think that they could have beat them a couple years ago with a, you know,
their receivers were healthy. I was talking about the Kings, though, because Okay, that's fine. And by the way, I do want to throw this out there. Kirby Smart speech before that TCU game. Did you hear it, Jeremy?
No, was it amazing?
Jeremy, it puts... First of all, Stu's speech was PG. Kirby's was NC-17. Got leaked from the locker room. And if you didn't want to go murder somebody, and I don't mean play football, I mean actually murder someone after hearing what Kirby Smart said, then you just weren't listening. Yeah.
See, now I got to go look it up. Oh, now I got to go look it up.
And further than that, after the game, what I noticed was multiple players, including Stetson Bennett, they kept talking about the fact that people didn't expect them to win. They kept talking. Multiple times they had players say that people expected them to go 7-5 or 6-6 on the year. Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that is not Nick Saban speaking.
Yep.
Kirby Smart comes from the tree of Nick Saban, and he has done his job as well as any coach has ever done. People, Sean Manning on Twitter was like, who expected them to go, you know, whatever? How did this happen? And I'm like, listen, if Kirby Smart got these guys to actually get that kind of a chip on the shoulder and believe that people did not believe in them, kudos to him.
These five stars. I mean, just think about it. We can't get our stink players who are picked to finish last in the Big 12 in every sport that we play in.
Yeah.
to get that motivated to win a conference game. So you get these five-star guys to go win back-to-back national championships. Yeah, it's just a different breed, man.
So... Yeah, it's just Jeremy, it's just a different world, and Kirby Smart, and right now, Kirby Smart is a king. And overall, of all time, Nick Saban's a king. But in the moment, the man ruling is Kirby Smart. Because Kirby Smart has a chance to return a lot of those players, too.
He's had a couple good years. I'll agree.
Did you see his good years? Nobody's ever won 29 games in the SEC in a two-year period. 29-1, back-to-back championships. First time ever done in the college football playoff.
Yes, he had a couple of good years.
Years is what you're going to say.
But when you have two rings, do not get that twisted with seven, okay? Or six.
I said six in the history, it's Saban.
What I'm saying. Yeah, right now, like I said, he had a couple years in a row. Good job. Hey, hats off to you. But did you hear David Pollack say that? He's like, this is Kirby Smart. Did you see it? I saw it on Instagram. They zoomed in on Nick Saban's face when he said it. Okay. And fortunately for Georgia, they didn't have to play Alabama this year. So fortunately for Georgia, but good for them.
Fortunately for Georgia. Texas A&M took Alabama to the wire.
That's right. And Alabama almost beat Georgia last year when Georgia's defense was way better without their starting top two receivers. But go ahead.
And I think Georgia's offense is better this year than it was last year. So tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we get into the NFL wild card weekend.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that. Yeah. Let's look.
So we got. Oh, hold on. It's the Seahawks and the Niners kick it off Saturday at 4:30. And then Chargers and Jaguars at 8:15. And then on Sunday, you've got Dolphins and Bills. Giants and Vikings. Ravens and Bengals. And then Cowboys and Buccaneers.
All right, so Saturday... Obviously, if you're a Mountaineer fan, Seahawks, 49ers. This game starts at 4:30.
I'm interested in all these games.
I'm interested. I just want to tell Mountaineer fans, like, don't go out of your way to watch this game. I don't think it's going to have a good ending. I feel like the 49ers are very hungry. I think they're well coached. And I think it's going to be a whipping. Maybe I'm wrong. Right now, the NFL doesn't feel like I'm wrong, seeing as they're 10-point favorites. But I hope. Like, I'm rooting for Geno.
10 points in the NFL is a big number.
I'm rooting for Geno big time. I just think that 49ers have a better team and better coaches. So, like, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch this game if, you know, other things were going on. The good game that night will be the Chargers and Jaguars. Now, to let you know, the Chargers, with Justin Herbert, good young quarterback, are only 2-point favorites against the Jaguars. That lets you see what kind of, you know, the difference in the 49ers Seahawks being negative 10 and Chargers and Jaguars being negative 2. So, yeah. It's a big difference.
Tua's not going. He's not going to play. He's been ruled out already. So I got Bills big against the Dolphins.
And by the way, they are 13-point favorites. So yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, Bills big. I think I've been going back and forth, but I think Brian Daboll and the Giants beat the fraud that is Kirk Cousins Sunday at 4:30.
I don't think so. I think the Giants have lost their magic. They haven't been playing well as of late. I think the Vikings hold on to it one more year, one more week. I don't think that they're what their record says, but I think they hold on to it one more week, find a way to beat the Giants. The game that I'm interested in is if Lamar can play against the Bengals, that'll
Lamar's
be a game.
Lamar's not playing.
If he's not playing, yeah, this will be easy.
Yeah, Lamar's not playing, and Huntley's hurt too. Bengals win easy.
This you know, this is kind of whack. Monday night. Now there's one.
That's what I'm about Cowboys to say. Bucks. Monday night is not whack. Dak Prescott leading the league in interceptions after missing all of those games.
Has to go. They finish year 12-5, but they go on the road to sub-500 Tampa Bay, who is 8-9, Brandon. But they got to go down there to Tampa to play.
Yeah. They got to go to Tampa.
But Tampa Monday night will be fun.
Tampa doesn't have any weapons. It's just the magic of Tom Brady. It's the man. He's the myth. He's the legend. And I don't trust Dak. I do trust Tom. And I'm still going to go Cowboys.
Me too. The real games will be played next week. Unfortunately, you got the Dolphins who are banged up. You got the Ravens who are banged up. You got, you know, a bunch of teams who are playing without their starting quarterbacks or starting running backs. It's going to be rough on them. So next week is when we're really going to see some good football. This week, hey, cross your fingers and, you know, hope for a shocker if you root for the underdog, but I don't see it happening. I hope Geno pulls it off. It'd be amazing, but I don't see it.
No, I don't see it either. Bosa is going to be after him all day. The NFL playoffs are about who can run and who can stop the run, and I just don't think that Seattle can stop San Francisco from running the ball, and I don't think that Seattle can run the ball on San Francisco. So I think that's a wrap.
All right, well, that's it. That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening. As always, like, listen, rate, review, and subscribe to the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. We love y'all, so please love us.
Podcast Network.